Yeah, that's Psalm 2. Thou art my son, this day have I forgotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So, verse 7, he says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, forcible. You know, Jesus, and he's talking about Gethsemane. With tears, unto him that was able to save him from death. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You know, and people who try to take away from that are ignorant. People like to take away from Christ's agony in the garden and try to say, oh, it was something else. He wanted to be crucified. Some of you have puzzled looks on your faces. Yes. Some people think it was unseemly. So they try to say, oh, he was weeping because of he did not want to bring the wrath of God on the world at the second advent. No. 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 Think of your own feelings. He was a man. You know? Do you think revenge on his enemies would cause him to weep that way? They forgive them, they know not what they do. You could say that very stoically. But, ooh, no. Weeping and strong crying. You know, with breast heaving. You know, because he fully knew what he was headed for. Tears. Drops of blood. You know, he was emotionally struck with hard feelings about it. You know? And honestly, to take away from that is to take away from his humanity. And to take away from ways in which I can relate to him. Because then when I get down, and then when I'm afraid, and when I cry, and I cry unto God, God deliver me from my troubles, and I'm afraid, what? Then I should despair and think, oh, God doesn't hear me. God is embarrassed of me because I was, you know, or he's forsaken me because I didn't have faith. The fact that you're crying to God means you do have faith. You can be full of fear and doubt. Not full of doubt or full of fear, I shouldn't necessarily, but you can have fear and doubt in you and still have faith. Though faith drives fear and doubt away. You know, love and faith, these things are contrary to fear and doubt. But being human, and even Christ cried, asked for the cup he was about to drink, which was the crucifixion. He asked for it to pass away from him. If there could be, let there be another way. Because it was so awful what he was about to do in his sight that he wished he would not have to do it. And you know what? He was still perfect. The thing is, you consider that the New Testament writers wanted to portray Jesus as perfect. And if that was less than a perfect behavior, they would not have written it down. They would not have believed in him. So it's okay to feel. Like on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't believe that God actually forsook him like Jesus sensed, God has really forsaken me. Like he knew it. No, really, God left me. I'm forsaken. I don't think he thought that for a minute. Like he didn't think he was really forsaken. But he felt completely forsaken. He felt it. Do you understand the difference between feeling and faith? Faith is persuasion. It's something that you've been persuaded of. It's the certainty you have of certain things. Yeah, I mean, like faith is the substance of things hoped for. I think substance meant like support or the evidence of things. And I say, you know, we have faith means we believe, and the faith is that belief in something that we have been persuaded of. It is that intangible substance that ties us to some hoped for thing, the resurrection, Jesus didn't doubt he would be raised from the dead. He didn't doubt that this was what God wanted him to do. So why would God forsake him in the midst of doing what he wanted him to do? Oh, because he became sin, and God can't look on sin. He only became sin figuratively. Come on. You know, he literally became sin. And I suppose when you take the bread and the wine, that literally becomes the body and blood, too. Transubstantiation. And other such things. It's not what it means. And even if he did, let's say he became sin and God couldn't look on sin, well then Jesus wouldn't have been God anymore. If he became sin for us, and God can't look on sin, if God can't look on sin, how could he be sin? Like literally. It's ridiculous. It's a bad idea. To try to start getting in with that. That's not what it was about. What it was about is he felt forsaken. He felt alone. God didn't turn his back on him. God looks on sin all the time. Thou art of pure eyes. I know there's a scripture that says, thou canst not look on iniquity. It doesn't mean like literally like oh, I can't look at it. You know, like that. Like literally God can't. Like, he doesn't see their evil deeds done in darkness? He knows what's going on. Like, and it's very simple. It's just a figure of speech. I can't look, but you look anyways. Get it? What it means is in his heart, he hates to see it. When it says he can't look on iniquity, all it means is he hates seeing it. I can't look at it. I can't stand it. That's what it means. That's all it means. It doesn't mean he literally, I am bound. I cannot look at iniquity. So I will not look at my son while he becomes sin on the cross. I will not look. I will shut my eyes. Don't be ridiculous. If he had to close his eyes then, he would be blind. God wouldn't see anything in the world because his eyes would always be closed because the world is so full of iniquity and sin. It's ridiculous. His eyes are so pure that when looking on iniquity, to see iniquity offends him. But he sees it. Paul, you're not following the word very closely. I am. I'm following it in the spirit in which it was intended. Please understand. Don't miss that. And that's, you know, a figure of speech like that should not be mistaken for something that, like, God has handcuffs on that he can't look at anything.